after World War II had ended, Corbin Forrest went home back to Harlan County, Kentucky, and got him a job at the number 7 mines of the Star Company. He and his wife lived in the company housing, and each morning he'd pick up his dinner bucket after he'd eaten breakfast and kiss his wife goodbye and head out the back door. And there he'd be met by his old Airedale dog, Mike. And he and Mike walked to work 6 days a week. The dog had been named in honor of his friend, Mike, that had been killed in France during the big push after D-Day. Some say that old dog could tell time. For you see, every day, when Corbin reached the mine entrance, he'd take off his pocket watch out of his pocket, and he'd clip it onto Mike's collar. And Mike would hang around at the entrance of the mine until precisely 12:14 every day. And at that time, he'd jump up from wherever he was at, and he'd run into the mine, and he'd sniff around until he found Corbin. And then he'd lay obediently at Corbin's feet while he ate lunch. Corbin always ate a sandwich and a half, and he saved that last half a sandwich as a treat for old Mike. After he'd finished, he'd close up his dinner bucket, and he'd hand it to Mike, and Mike would take it outside, and he'd guard it until the shift was over. And then he and Corbin would walk home every day. Corbin would bend down, and he'd unclip that watch from around Mike's collar, and obediently, old Mike would follow him onto the house. Now, some of the fellers took a liking to Mike, and they nicknamed him the old watchdog and decided that he ought to be the mascot for the number 7 mines. And a few of the guys got together and built him a shelter. Well, it wasn't nothing but an old piece of corrugated tin and a few pieces of rough lumber. But it did keep him out of the rain and out of the snow and so forth, and gave him a little shade in the summertime when it was so hot. And somebody along the way painted his name, Mike, right across the front of it with big white letters. Now, every day when the shift was over, Mike would be waiting there patiently for his master. Well, one day, one of the watchmen was sitting there at the gate guarding it, and he saw a strange thing happening. About 10 in the morning, old Mike jumped up from wherever he was laying, and he ran into the mine. And the old foreman looked at the other one and he said, "What's wrong with that dog? It ain't noon. His watch must be broken today. There ain't nothing going on." And they didn't hear nothing, but old Mike did. He heard some rumblings deep down in that mine. Well, inside the mine, the old dog searched and sniffed until he found his master. And once he'd found Corbin, he began to bark and growl and even show his teeth until he had Corbin's full attention. And Corbin said, "Mike, what's wrong with you?" And then he recognized familiar sounds. And he said, get out, boys, get out wherever you're at, get out." Now, folks don't kid around about things like that in the mines. So all 46 miners dropped their tools and ran. Some of them grabbed their dinner buckets on the way out. And when they were all safely outside, one of the miners turned to the other and said, "What are we doing out here?" And the other one said, "Well, Corbin, he said to drop everything and run, so that's what we did." Well, about that time, the old foreman walked up and he said, "Well, there ain't nothing happening today. Come on, fellas, let's get back in there and finish your shift." And Corbin stopped him. He said, "Wait, just give it a few minutes." Well, as Corbin stood there, he began to reminisce about how he'd gotten Mike and where he came from. Corbin was stationed in France during World War II. He and his buddy Robert Smith pulled duty at the mess tent there. Well, as a makeshift mess tent, it wasn't much of anything. But there they were, day in and day out, pulling the mess tent. Things was hard during that time. War was all around them. And they were constantly aware of missile attack. And anything that could divert their attention from that war for even just a few minutes was a welcome reprieve. And one day, while they was there working, this old dog walked in. He was an ugly old thing. He was kind of a scraggly-looking Iredale-type dog, but he had tufts of hair where he ought not had tufts of hair. And one of them was at his chin, kind of made him look like he had a goatee. And he was so skinny and poor that his skin was stretched so tight over his ribs that you could count every rib that old dog had. And his legs was way too long for his body, and he had these great old big feet. And then he had this strange-looking big old bushy tail that curled around up over top of his back. But there is something inviting about those warm brown eyes of his. And it wasn't long until Corbin took a liking to that old dog. And not only him, but all the fellers of the company. And they took a fancy to him, and they began to feed him and pet him and play with him. And in a very short period of time, he was in fine health. One of the guys brought him a blanket from his cot and put it over in the corner and made the old dog a place to lay. Some of the guys tried to get him to come outside and romp and roll with them and play fetch. They made a ball out of some old rags that they had. But that old dog knew where he was comfortable and he wouldn't budge. Well, one of the fellers got a bright idea to rub some Spam on that old ball and lure him outside and try to get him to play fetch with them. All he did was lick the Spam off of it and leave that ball a-laying there. Well, one day after the supply plane had come in, the men began to hear sounds of missiles, first in the distance and then they got a little closer. Corbin looked down at his watch and said, "Well, it's 12 o'clock. Kind of like to know what time it is when I die." Robert said, "You know, they say you never hear the one that gets you." Maybe people don't. Well, just about then, old Mike became restless, and he began to bark and growl and show his teeth and carry on. And finally, Robert said, "There's something wrong with that dog. Maybe he's got something he wants to show us. Let's go see." So the two men followed the dog out of the tent. And they started walking at first, and then Mike picked up the pace, and he started running. And they ran across this great old big field, and on the other side of the field was a big, huge foxhole the guys had dug to protect themselves against missile attack. And that dog ran those guys right down into the middle of that foxhole. And when they got there, they wasn't a thing there. Well, Corbin and Robert was pretty much out of breath once they got there, and they was winded, and both of them was trying to catch their breath, and finally Robert, he lit up a cigarette and took a long draw from it and handed it to Corbin, and he did the same, and after they rested a minute, they stood up, and they said there wasn't no reason for them to stay, and started trying to go back out. And when they did, that dog, he became ferocious and act like he was going to try to eat them up or something. And the dog would look up in the sky, and then he'd look back at them, and he'd kind of look up and whine and carry on. And in just a minute or two more, they heard that familiar sound, and they hit the dirt. And about the time they did, a huge missile landed right in the middle of that mess tent. That shell hit that cookhouse dead on. And when it was all gone and the smoke was cleared, there wasn't nothing left of that cookhouse and mess tent. It had been blown to smithereens. And what was supposed to be in today's lunch was scattered to and fro all over the place. Well, after the air cleared and the men got out of the foxhole, that old dog ran on ahead, wagging its tail. For him, this wasn't nothing but a great big barbecue. And he went out there and started licking and eating on that lunch. He wagged his tail and lapped his jaws. And they said that his old belly got so full he couldn't hardly walk that day. Not long after that, Corbin received word that he was being transferred to England. He couldn't bear to leave that old dog behind. He went and talked to his company commander, and they agreed to let him have him. So he made arrangements and had the dog shipped back home to Harlan County, Kentucky, to his wife at Wallens Creek. She was glad to get that old dog. She said why, that's the best letter he'd ever written her. She learned to love the dog as much as he did. The only problem she said she ever had from it was that he didn't understand her. You see, he only spoke French. And so she had to learn a few words in French in order to communicate with the old dog. Well, nothing's going to happen today, boys. Let's get on back to work. And he started back to that mine. And when he did, old Mike lunged at him and knocked him to the ground. And there was that foreman laying on the ground with a 50-pound dog standing right on top of him. And every time he tried to get up, Mike would growl and show his teeth. It was about then that the men heard the rumbling deep down low inside that mine. At first, it just started as a small rumbling, and then the intensity built. And then the whole roof caved in. It was the section where Corbin had been working, and all those men had been. All the men stood there silent, speechless for what seemed like to be the longest time. Then one man walked over and scratched old Mike's ears and rubbed his head a little bit. The old foreman, when he got to his feet, he went over and he stuck his hand out and he said, "That's some dog you got there, Corbin." Some of the guys opened their dinner buckets and gave Mike what would have been their lunch that day. After all was said and done, Mike's old belly was so full he couldn't hardly wobble home that day. Well, that spur where Corbin worked became the main tunnel for the number 7 mines. And long after Corbin had retired and old Mike had died, some of the seasoned miners often shared the story of Mike and told all the newcomers why there was still an empty doghouse outside the mine shaft door. Now, they say that deep down inside that mine, you can hear strange noises. Sometimes it's the dripping of water, or the popping and cracking of the timbers, or the groaning and the shifting of rocks. It's no wonder why some of the miners tend to be jumpy. Now, it's said that in the number 7 mines, that if a watch is heard ticking, everything stops. Everybody listens. The miners listen to wherever that ticking is, and where it stops, they say something's going to happen. A rock will fall, or timber will break, or a train will derail. Something's going to happen. And when the miners hear this, they clear the area. And after the accident is all over and the smoke clears away, the miners, they don't eat their lunch that day. Instead, they leave it by the doghouse on the way outside in memory of old Mike. You see, they mean to keep that watch running. None of them have ever forgotten Mike. And Mike's not forgot them either.